Welcome to Life with Danny Duncan, where we talk about everything from nutrition, movement, and mindset to the bullshit that's been holding you back to live your best life, completely raw and unfiltered. I'm your host, Danny Duncan. I'm a featured nutrition and fitness coach, author, business owner, speaker, mum of three, including twins, and I'm going to let you into the behind the scenes of my life. Oh, and we'll have a bit of a laugh along the way, don't worry. It won't all be serious. I'm going to be the one to make you get uncomfortable with your reality and challenge you to make changes for good. So if you're feeling stuck in where you are in life and are ready to change, this podcast will unpack the reasons why you may be feeling this way and help you with tools to make changes in your life. There's no bullshit here, just real talk. So if you're ready, let's dive in. There's no time like the present. Hello and welcome back to Life with Danny Duncan. Today I have the amazing Bailey Haslam, who is a 29-year-old mother of two with a huge passion for helping women with confidence, feel strong and empowered through health and fitness. She is originally from Vancouver, Canada, but we won't hold it against her. She loves Care Bears and actually doesn't love working out, loves how she feels afterwards, which is very similar to myself. She's very laid back, which is why I love her. And we always have some awesome conversations. So I'm really excited to have you on today. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. I know we have loads of things to chat. So I thought, why not bring it to the podcast?
To the couch.
Absolutely. So before we get started, I ask all my guests this question. So what is your laugh out loud, cringeworthy moment?
I mean, I have a few. When I first moved to Australia, I just came to travel and I went to a place in Cairns called the Woolshed. If you know, you know. And they were doing a wet t-shirt contest. Oh, so me and my friend are like, we're going to be here for a year. Then we'll never see these people again. Let's just do it. So we did it. I got a trip to the Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, you won.
I did. And I literally had nipples at the time. So that's beyond me. But anyways, fast forward to when I met my husband, we were just chatting and I was telling him about the wet t-shirt contest. And literally 10 minutes later, he showed me the photos.
He was there?
No.
Oh.
He found them online. He found them. He's like, it's on their website. And I was like, what the fuck? Like mortified. So...
Oh,
that's pretty embarrassing. So like, if you want to go find them, you can.
Amazing.
Yeah. So don't, but fuck.
See, once it's online, it's always online.
I know. So watch out.
Even 10 years ago.
Yeah. You think you're being carefree. You're not.
Oh, well, I mean, he was fine with it.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And now you've got forgiveness.
Yeah. So I should do it again.
You'll win again.
Yeah.
We're both on the same page when it comes to how we promote our business, our beliefs around fitness and nutrition, which is why I think we get on so well about living a balanced lifestyle, and we're both not afraid to ruffle some feathers from time to time, which is some of where our conversations stem from a lot. So why are you so passionate? Why are you happy to ruffle feathers? Like, why do you love doing what you do?
This space isn't actually something I wanted to be in. I wanted to be like a daycare teacher, and then I had kids and I was like, oh my God, no way. It's too hard. But growing up as a teenager, it was really hard. I think being a teenager in general is just hard with the hormones and changing and growing. But, you know, I did have a bit of a drug addiction. And then I also had some disordered eating issues as well, some traumatic events. So pretty much 14 to, I'm going to say 20 was pretty full on. Yeah. So I had my first son. I had him when I was 20. Yeah. So I came to travel Australia and I ended up with a baby.
With a child.
Yeah. That's a whole other podcast. But so I had my first son and he changed everything, obviously. And then it wasn't until my second son that I started like taking care of myself a bit more. And I did a challenge and I started an Instagram and people would message me and just asking what I was doing and all this stuff. And I was just like, whoa, this is super cool that like I'm feeling good about myself and I can help people feel the same, because I've felt pretty shitty about myself. And a lot of people feel that way, which makes me very sad. Yeah. So yeah, it kind of just went from there. And that's how I got into this space.
Yeah. Have you always been pretty outspoken, happy to like ruffle feathers, or is that something that you just...
No. So I think that's why... I guess as you get older, you come into your own. And I just think back to when I was younger, like I had no opinion. you know, I just could not give my opinion about anything. I was scared of what people would say. Even with my now husband, you know, he'd be like, where do you want to eat? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I'd be,
yeah.
And then I, you know, I dated a few people and I just, the way they would talk to me and what I would put up with is just crazy.
Yeah.
And even just in like, I guess family dynamics and stuff, no boundaries. I just let everyone say whatever they wanted and never stood up for myself.
Yeah.
And my husband's very much like, says it how it is. Like he ain't taking no shit.
Yeah.
So he's really helped me grow as a person with confidence in speaking my mind.
Yeah.
And now I very much just say what I want to say.
Yeah. I think when it comes to social media, there's also this stigma that you have to conform, right? And like you have to, you don't want to upset anyone. You don't want to like disturb the apple cart. Like, you know, you've got to look after everyone's feelings. And I think something we're going to talk about today is like, everyone's actually in charge of their own feelings and emotions, right? Like you don't have to consume your content, right? Like you can unfollow you if you don't like it.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting. Very similar to me as well. So let's talk about balance, right? So this is what I'm about in my 30s. Balance. I mean, I'm almost 40 next year, but 80% whole foods, 10% sometimes foods, occasional foods, ultra processed foods, maybe whatever you like. Have you always been this way? Like since you started your business, have you always been around the whole food movement as well?
No, started very much like calories. Like if you're in a calorie deficit, you're going to lose weight. It was very weight loss focused and not so much health focused.
Yeah.
And honestly, without getting into COVID, COVID is what really, I'm going to say, woke me up to, you know, just marketing and government. Like I'm not getting into it, but I just was like, I really need to take charge of what I'm consuming, what I'm eating, what I'm watching, like everything. So yeah, it was really eye-opening, I think, for me. And that's when I really started to think about things more from a health perspective.
Yeah.
Because before it was like, oh, well, this package says it's high protein, so it's great for me.
Yeah.
And there's not a single thing of real food in there.
Yeah.
And so then I wonder why I felt like shit all the time.
Yeah. And let's talk about that for a second. So there are still loads of coaches and social called experts right out there that are all about calories, right? Like fat loss coaches, they call themselves. And even like, I mean, let's not start learning like some dietitians, you know, it's all about the calories with completely ignoring the health benefits, right?
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, like as you said, and as I've said, as we grow and learn and realize, actually, let's think for ourselves. Let's actually read some packets and understand what that looks like, because it's all in good being in a deficit and having low calorie snack options and wanting to lose fat, but at the detriment to your health. Like at the moment, I feel like there's a lot of talk about it at the moment, right? Like long-term health. Finally, there's some things in the news about how ultra-processed foods are detrimental to our health.
Yeah.
But for years, we have just been drawn into this market like little minions, right? Like here's a packet. It says it's 20% sugar-free or whatever, and it's got like all these vitamins, so you should eat it every day. And so you go, oh my God, the packet says so it must be fine.
Yeah.
And then you actually think about it, you go, it's not actually food. But then what happens with like, I think what we're doing is then we're like, come on guys, eat 80% whole foods. And then what do we get told? We're extreme, you're creating eating disorders, you know, like let's have some fun. And I know like you get a lot of that as well, right?
Yeah.
So how are you finding that? Because I know especially lately your following's grown at like 67,000 followers on Instagram at the moment.
Yeah.
So how are you finding that with promoting more whole foods?
I have definitely shifted. Like if you scrolled down my Instagram, I would have heaps of reels of here's 10 low calorie, 100 calorie fucking snacks.
Yeah.
And it's all shit.
Yeah.
Like it's all shit.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like have it whatever. Like if that's your 20% or whatever, that's fine. But it's not going to fill you up. It's not going to do anything for you. So I've moved more to the whole foods and really just focusing on eating actual food. I don't know when we went so far the other way, but it just makes no sense to me that I'm literally on my page saying, hey guys, let's eat more whole foods. And people have shit to say about it. They're angry that I'm saying that.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you know how crazy you sound?
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, hey, eat protein, fats, and carbs from like a whole food source.
Yeah.
And you're angry at me that I'm telling you not to eat the pizza.
Yeah.
I eat the pizza. But also eat a steak.
Yeah, like, totally. Right. And that's the thing. I think people are so extreme in their views, right? It's like, oh, she's telling me to eat whole foods so I can never have another chocolate bar.
Mm.
And it's like, we're not saying never have the chocolate bar.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily need a chocolate bar every single day.
Yeah.
You know, and you definitely don't need some cereal, then a chocolate bar, then a packet of chips, and then a pizza, right?
Yeah. I think that's the issue as well. Like, people actually don't know what ultra processed food is, what processed food is, and what whole foods is.
Yeah.
They're actually very confused about it. And a lot of people think they're eating 80-20, but they're really not. Like, the reel you did was really good. Because once you put in, like, for breakfast, you have Vegemite, spread butter, whatever that is, and like white bread.
Yeah.
And then for like lunch, you have a ham sandwich with fucking processed cheese or whatever, you know, and then like it goes on. And then it's like, well, you actually didn't eat any whole foods that day.
And this is the thing. Sometimes I have to really take a step back. And one of my bosses, when I was in corporate years ago, said this to me today. He said, you have to always target the lowest 10%, right? Mm-hmm. Which if you tell people that and they don't believe they're under 10%, they'll be like triggered, right? Because they're the people that get triggered. But you have to literally target them, because to you and me, having, say, 5 servings of vegetables a day is like a no-brainer, right? Like, no-brainer. We even learned that back in the old freaking food pyramid. But when I do some masterclasses and I ask the question, like, who has 5 servings of vegetables a day? Someone said to me, you eat vegetables every day? And I was like,
stop it.
Do I eat every day? Like,
stop it.
Are you kidding? Like, yes, no, every day. And so I think, oh, my God, is this how uneducated we are as a society, that we've literally been molded by big companies like Kellogg's and the government to believe that this stuff is healthy?
Yeah. Yeah, that gets me. I ain't trying to be controversial here, but I believe, you believe it or not, but the government wants us to be sick. Sick people make us a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
Okay. Uneducated people make us a lot of money. Not us, you know, everyone, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who just are like brain dead from consuming Netflix and social media and eating like shit and not going outside and not being in the sun and not drinking enough water and sitting on a computer like 9 to 5 working, you're brain dead.
You're brain dead.
You're going to just follow whatever the fuck they tell you
to do. And the other thing, like, about that, like, where I get in trouble, the same reasons you get in trouble, like, I'm just trying to tell you to eat more whole foods. Like, I'm not trying to fucking tell you to, like, freaking go out and chop your left ear off. Like, I'm literally telling you to eat more whole foods. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I talk about a lot is also screen time, right? And what you consume and what you let your kids consume. And parents get so driven. Like, I've got someone literally emailed the other day telling me they're unfollowing me because over the years they hate how extreme I've gotten with telling people to not let their kids on the screen as much or have as much. And she's like, I was making her feel bad as a parent, as she's already feels guilty enough.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do you feel guilty?
Yeah, you feel bad because you know.
Because you know.
You know what you're doing.
And then people go, but some parents made it down for a break. Did your parents have an iPad for you?
Yeah. Like, we got real bad, like, during COVID. Like, my kids watch TV in the morning, they get home from school, and then they're on their iPad or Switch or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we realized, we're like, whoa, we actually don't spend any time together. Like, I don't talk to my kids at all.
Yeah.
Like, they have a screen in front of their face all the time.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, shit, like, we need to do something.
Yeah.
And, like, behavior as well, like, you take it away, huge tantrum, unacceptable.
Yeah.
So we're like, hey, we're done. So we took them away, and it's, like, Friday, you get it, after school.
Totally.
And that works. Like, their behavior has changed so much, and their creativity has gotten so good.
Yeah.
Like, before, they didn't know how to fucking self-play.
Yeah,
like, they didn't know how, the iPad, they're like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. And parents say that, though, right? They go, if I didn't have the iPad, the kids would just freaking pick up a fuss. First of all, they're kids. Like, they're allowed to, like.
Mm.
But also, it's because they don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't know how to self-play. And the thing is, I think parenting is hard. I think we have to stop pretending that it's supposed to be easy.
Yeah.
Like, when you decide to have children, you have to go into it realizing that life is not going to be as easy than it was before.
Yeah.
Those days are fucking gone.
Yeah.
If you're going into it thinking that you can spend your freaking Saturday and Sunday chilling on the couch and having a fucking cocktail, like, you got to think again.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is that we don't want to do hard. And that's not just in parenting. That's in everything, right?
Like,
we don't want to put ourselves through hard. Oh, fouls, it's so hard, so we'll take the easy route.
Yeah.
Cooking's too hard, so I'll just buy the shit.
Yeah.
Then, like, that's fine now, right? Like, it's all okay now. I'm busy, I'm tired, I'm stressed mom now. But, like, what if you could fast forward 20 years?
Yeah.
And you are spending your time in a doctor's surgery and you're sick and you can't move and you are in a wheelchair. What about then?
it's so true though.
Yeah.
Because like the iPad thing, yeah, the first 2 weeks were so rough. Yeah. I was like, this is torture to me.
Yeah.
But after that, they're like, fine. And my kids draw and like build random shit all the time. Yeah. And it's just so cool.
Yeah.
To watch them.
Yeah.
Be so creative.
It's like, it actually doesn't even take that long apart, right? Really?
Oh, no. Like, kids, they adapt so quick.
So quick.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the thing. I think you see that a couple of days are hard and you're like, fuck, I can't do this.
Mm.
But then actually, if you knew, like, what if I told you it's like 2 weeks' time, it'll actually be easy.
Yeah.
Then would you be like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
And like, even with my kids, so we don't do TV in the mornings. Sometimes in the afternoons before dinner, I might let them watch half an hour, especially if it's a rainy day.
Yeah, yeah.
Before dinner, because I fucking just don't want them around my feet. I'm trying to cook dinner.
Yeah.
My kids don't have iPads.
They need it for school. We didn't have one either. And then, my mom gave Dean here. Yeah. Anyways, but before that, we didn't have one.
Yeah.
And then he needed one for school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have set this really clear expectation that it's a school device.
Mm.
And she has asked a few times. And I get this close to saying yes, Eddie, because I'm like, you know what? She's doing a color thing or another thing. And then I go, no, she can use a pen
because
she's actually really creative and she can draw and color and she's got a freaking maths book there she can do.
Yeah.
And so it's really easy to give in.
Yeah.
And it's like going, actually, think long term. I don't want the twins to see Harper on the iPad. And it's also about going, yeah. So there's been times when a few weeks ago they did watch too much TV at one stage.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing at the behavior. I was like, oh. You're
it's
being
crazy.
Rude, you're snappy,
yeah.
You turn it off and then like have tantrums and you're like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, my oldest, he used to watch YouTube, not even kids YouTube, like adult YouTube. And he started sounding like these gamers.
Oh my God.
And it would drive my husband absolutely nuts. But he would be, you bro, like, dude, blah. I ain't your bro, mate.
Like, definitely like that.
Yeah, it was like crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy how quick they just mold into this random person on YouTube.
I know that you've made some lot of changes with their nutrition as well, right?
Yeah.
So I know that I'm triggering a lot of parents or making them feel comfortable at the moment because I'm really talking a lot about kids and their food and I'm getting it from a lot of angles. Like I literally got a message last night, like, thank you for making me feel uncomfortable. Like you actually need to make these changes.
Yeah.
Then I've got the parents that are like, stop blaming parents. They already feel guilty. I'm like, well, why do you feel guilty? And then I've got the parents that
who the fuck else are we going to blame?
Totally. But then I've got the neurodivergent parents, which, you know, that's a totally different
thing. Yeah, we're not, I'm not qualified to even
and that's the thing.
Go in that ball game.
This is about the consuming what is relevant to you, right? So why do we have an issue with, like, not being able to decide if something's right for you or not, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like going into a department store. It's like, I'm not going to go into the gaming section because it's not relevant to me.
Yeah,
so I'm not
going
to sit there and consume that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you've made some really good changes in your nutrition. So like some of the stuff I talk about, you used to feed your kids, right? And so talk to me about that.
Yeah, so my oldest son, he was a really good eater and then all of a sudden he just became a picky eater. And
the kids go through stages, right?
They do, but I don't know. I want to say I was just lazy. Like, I just couldn't be fucked.
Yeah.
This is a battle I ain't trying to win. Like, you know, like me and my husband, we don't have any family or anything around. So it's just us raising the boys and it's a lot. And food, I was just like, whatever. This kid literally lived off chicken nuggets for 3 years. That's not even an exaggeration. Like dinner, lunch. I don't even know what he ate for breakfast.
No. Chicken nuggets.
Oh, I'm telling you, the kid's 90% chicken nuggets. But like he just always ate chicken nuggets and that was really it. We went to Canada and they're like, well, what does he eat? I'm like, chicken nuggets. And it was like, he also ate yogurt, but it had to be that brand of yogurt. It was just, it got so bad. And I let that happen because I was like, he'll grow out of it. Like, it's okay, whatever. And then eventually my husband's like, I'm fucking taking over this
when
role.
Did you realize, I have to say, when did you realize it was a hit that went?
He was pretty much malnourished. Like he was very underweight. He's a small kid. Like he is just 100 miles per hour. He eats a lot now, but he's just one of those thin kids, you know, but he got sick and he had gastro or something. And the doctor's like, he's very small, like even without gastro, like very little. So we're like, oh fuck. So yeah, we started making changes and it's taken about 2 years to get to where we are now, but we all eat the same dinner.
Yeah, cool. How did that change? So going from just eating chicken nuggets and swan brown yogurt.
Yeah.
I mean, so lots of parents, I feel like, would relate to this.
Yeah.
How did you now get to this point? Like you said, you've taken 2 years, and this is the other thing. When I say it, like, right, you should feed your kids this. I'm not saying if you've got a picky eater, you have to suddenly go, no, you're eating all of this.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, tell me what that looks like as a process.
Yeah, lots of crying, lots of tantrums.
Yeah.
Lots of sitting at the dinner table for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it was just consistency of, hey, mate, this is what we're having for dinner.
Yeah.
If you don't want it, cool. It's here for you in the morning. Yeah. Like, my husband was pretty savage, but we did that for a while.
Yeah.
Or it was like, okay, this is dinner, and if you don't want this, then you wait till your next meal, which is breakfast. And eventually he just got over his own shit and started eating, because he was, like I said, already underweight, sorry. And then, him not eating dinner, like, stressed me out. But eventually he ate.
I was going to say, how did that make you feel, I suppose, because that's something else some people have said, like, if he was underweight, it was, like, not giving him dinner the right choice. Like, what did the doctors say about
that? Yeah, the doctors, I didn't get much from them.
Yeah.
But we just slowly made changes. Yeah. And like I said, it took 2 years, but the kid eats fucking everything now.
Amazing.
And my youngest son, he went through a phase, but he's pretty good. And like, I was making 3 different dinners at one point.
No one needs to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids go through picky stages. And I think that's the thing. Sometimes I literally was just talking to a client before who's asking about feeding my kids. And sometimes our reactions and how we react is actually causing more issues, right?
Mm.
Like, my kids last night, for example, I made a paella, Bo downed it. Harlow literally didn't even have a mouthful. It's like, she saw the prawns, which she loved like a couple of weeks ago, and was like, no, I'm not touching this.
Yeah.
Harper had like 3 mouthfuls, and she was like, Mommy, I just don't feel like dinner. And I was like, okay, like, you're going to be hungry, but...
Yeah.
So literally Harper and Harlow went to bed without dinner.
Yeah.
Well, I had to make double breakfast.
Yeah. They'll eat when they're hungry.
They'll eat when they're hungry.
Yeah.
You know? And obviously, again, we're not talking about necessarily neurodivergent children. We're talking about, the average child.
Yeah, we're talking most people.
Most people, yeah.
I think also, like, if you let them get away with it, they're going to take you for a ride. And I was getting taken for a ride, like, bad.
Like, Mom's going to let me have this, so I'm going to do it again.
100%.
Yeah. Like, but that's like, even with adults though, right? Like, if you let yourself get complacent with one thing, it's then much easier to get complacent with other things, right?
Yeah.
Like, you miss a workout once, no one's going to like say anything, you know. But then you go, I'll just miss the second workout.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the next minute you've missed a whole week of workouts.
Mm.
And then to get you back to the other side, it's freaking hard.
Yeah.
And I think that's with the whole habit formation. I think what parents don't realize is you've created that habit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no like nice way to say it. Like, who created it? Like, you created it.
You bought the food into the house.
Yeah, that's like we've talked about before. Yeah. Why do they know about these foods?
Yeah.
Because you bought them.
Totally.
And I can take full responsibility that I created
a
chicken nugget monster eater, okay?
Like, eating a chicken is really thankful.
Yeah, like, I created that 100%.
Yeah. And that's the thing, I think. You know, you see so many people go, oh, my kid will only eat, and sometimes it is like pretty good food, like, my kid will only eat blueberries or white food. And it's like, well, it didn't go to the freaking cupboard itself and get it. It didn't go to the shop.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's another thing, packaged snacks and stuff.
Yeah.
I used to buy heaps of it, and now I don't buy any of them, because number one, it's fucking expensive.
Yeah.
But if you want a snack, here's the fruit bowl.
Yeah, totally. And that's the thing with my kids. They want a snack. First of all, I'm not one for snacking throughout the course of the day. I'm really, there has been research showed that kids that snack throughout the course of the day don't understand satiety and hunger, and so therefore are more likely to be obese, right, because they don't understand those feelings, and those feelings are really important for us to regulate our hunger and satiety levels.
Yeah.
So, like, it's snack time for my kids. I was like, say, it's a Saturday, what's for a snack? Well, what's for a snack is what's for a snack every fucking time it's snack time. Fruit, veggies, yogurt, a boiled egg, or something I've cooked in the fridge, right?
Yeah.
And they're the options. And she doesn't want any of that, and I'm like, well, they're the options. So then she chooses something.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're like, fruit, and
some
the freaking
Oreos.
Yeah, Oreos, 5 packets of snacks that are in the cupboard, then what are you going to pick as a child?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't give them any other option.
No. And that's the other thing. I think what we don't realize as well is ultra-processed food. This is a whole other episode in itself, right? But, like, you know, apart from the low-calorie snack options, which are low nutrient dense, a lot of these ultra-processed foods, like snack foods, are high-calorie. Like, you can eat a whole bunch more of whole foods than you can if you're eating ultra-processed foods.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people also get confused, right, about calories, because they don't feel like they're eating much.
Yeah.
But that's like, you don't feel like you're eating much, but if you were to look at the calories, then you are eating more than you realize.
Yeah. You're eating heaps.
Yeah. So what are a couple of the things, like, I know you've been called, like, you're creating eating disorders.
Yeah, I've been called some things.
Yeah.
I'm a mean lady.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think it's lack of emotional intelligence, to be honest. If I see a post I don't like, I can go, oh, okay, I don't really agree with that. And I keep scrolling.
Yeah.
And I also believe, like, when people start to name call or put words in your mouth or whatever, I'm like, you've already lost the battle. Like, you're just talking shit.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of like food comparison posts, and I share a lot of calories and macros and things like that. And nowadays, talking about calories or wanting to even lose weight is a sin.
Yeah.
Like, apparently that's not allowed anymore.
Yeah.
And it's disordered eating. Everyone's like, oh, just intuitively eat, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that's great. But most people can't. And that's why we have a obesity epidemic, because they don't know when to stop.
Totally. And also, it's all like, well, like you and me can probably intuitively eat because we have a lot of knowledge behind us to do that.
Yeah.
Even so, I'd probably overeat if I were to intuitively eat because there's nothing really holding me accountable, right?
Yeah.
But if you have absolutely zero knowledge around food and calories, you absolutely cannot intuitively eat.
No.
Especially if you're already overweight, right?
Yeah. And people just think, oh, it's food. It's like new. Like people use it when they're upset, like comfort food. You know, they use it when they're depressed. Like, I don't think obese or morbidly obese people got to where they are without using food as
like a crutch.
Yeah. They had some kind of mental health issue and they used food to cope. Some people use drugs. Some people use food. Okay. And, you know.
Yeah. People get to a point where they're obese or morbidly obese and then they don't feel good.
Mm.
They've got health issues and they don't like how they look.
Yeah.
But then we've got the other side where people are telling us, you should love how you look and don't worry about your jiggly bits and get it out there and be confident.
Yeah.
Which I also think is the wrong fucking message.
Yeah, the body positivity movement went a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
It went too far.
Yeah.
They usually go too far.
Yeah.
The whole love yourself, whatever, that's great. That's amazing, but you can love yourself and want to change yourself as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you are obese, you have a 73% chance of illness eventually.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty fucking high chance.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can change your body for your health as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, people argue like, well, they work out and I eat healthy, but, you know, people are like, well, you can't tell if someone's unhealthy by the way they look. And I'm like, well,
there are different pillars of health. And we know that being obese, unfortunately, means that you are not healthy. And this is the other thing, I think. You can eat an abundance of healthy foods, right?
Mm.
And you can work out. And so, yes, you might be healthier than someone that potentially doesn't do that, right?
Yeah.
But if you have excess fat on you, you are still at risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and those sorts of things. But also, as well, we have to understand that you can also eat too many calories, right? People say to me, all I do is eat healthy food. I don't eat any takeaway. I don't eat any chocolate. But it's like, yeah, but you're probably still consuming too many calories, too much energy for what your body needs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is where I think it gets so fucking confusing for people because they're like, well, I don't get it. I'm working with a client at the moment who literally was like that. She's like, I don't really eat any takeaway. I do like a couple of wines because of the other thing. People don't realize that, you know, alcohol has so many calories in it. But when she started working with me, she's like, I was eating 3 times as much as I should have been.
Yes.
Like, I did not realize.
And that's literally why I do those food comparison posts. Sometimes I do like a chicken bowl or whatever, and one of them's like 600 calories and one's over 1,000 calories.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can still eat healthy, but you can still be consuming too many calories.
Yeah. If you can't burn that energy that you're consuming, it gets stored as fat, which then has an impact on our arteries, right?
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Like, I've done a couple of, thank God, people were like, no, you've just killed avocado on toast at a cafe for me. Because, you know, people think, oh, I'm going to have avocado and an egg on toast at a cafe. It's really healthy. It's like definitely health benefits and healthy foods. You know, an avocado on toast with some poached eggs can be like over 1,000 calories at a cafe.
Yeah.
You
know? And people get shitty as well because they're like, oh, I can't eat it. Or that's a lot of the comments I get. They're like, oh, like you've just ruined this for me. Or, oh, well, what can I eat now? And I'm not saying you can't eat these things.
Yeah.
I'm just literally showing you, hey, have you looked at nutrition and calories before? Because I'm explaining it in a visual way.
Simple way.
Very simple. That's the only message.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything else.
No, I'm not saying don't eat it. And I think the other thing, though, that people have to realize, though, with anything that comes in life, if you want to achieve any goal, there has to be an element of sacrifice.
Yeah.
And people aren't willing to do that.
No.
And that's the problem. I think until you're at that space where you're like, yeah, I understand this. Like if you said to me 4 years ago, right, 4 years' time, you're probably never going to order a takeaway pizza. I would have been like, fuck off. I love takeaway pizza and I eat a whole thing. Like, if I get a crust pizza, a peri-peri chicken pizza, I'm eating that whole thing. When I order it, I'm not ordering it for us. I'm ordering it for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 3-4 years ago, right? And I can't remember the last time Chris and I ordered pizza.
Yeah.
Because as I learn more and as I start to feel better and nourish my body with whole foods, to be honest, the last thing I want to consume now is a pizza from a takeaway.
Yeah.
I'd make it at home for two reasons, right? One, that's going to be like 1,500 calories in that pizza. Mm. Maybe close to 2,000 actually.
Yeah.
Do I want to interrupt all my goals for like one night of like...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No. And yeah. Also, I'm going to feel like fucking shit. Mm. I think, is that a sacrifice? It probably would have felt like a sacrifice at the time, but it's not now. But also sometimes like delayed gratification and, you know, their sacrifices are needed. You know, like sometimes you have to say no. Like you say no to your kids for that reason, right? Like we're really good at doing that to kids. No, you can't have that because whatever the reason.
Yeah.
You got to start doing it to yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, even people like when you say, oh, there has to be some kind of sacrifice or whatever. And they're like, oh, what a miserable life. Like, yeah. You know, they think we should eat only for enjoyment and all of this stuff. And it's like, you need to eat to nourish your body as well. Not every meal can be like the most enjoyable, crazy meal.
No. Yeah. And I think that's as well. It's also in finding enjoyment from the outcomes as well, you know, like. Okay, but if I was to tell you, if you ate like this, like, it's still yummy. Like, I know you and me both share lots of recipes and stuff that are fucking delicious.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be. And that's the other thing. It's like, oh, it's not fun. Like, kids don't have any fun. I'm like, but why are we, since when do we associate fun with this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, like, you can still have fun, but also why don't we have fun in other ways? Like, you know, it's also like they're rewarding with food. Like, oh, if you're good, you can have an ice cream. Well, that's showing that that's the fun thing.
Yeah.
You know? Like, why don't we reward in other ways? So people like are just afraid of making sacrifice. Like, they want it to be easy, right? Everyone wants the easy way out. They want the quick fix. They want the eight-week challenge. They want to lose weight now. They want, like Ozempic and all this other shit that's coming out now.
Yeah.
People just want that. Like, the other client I've got lately, which I was talking about before, she also was on Ozempic and on the other Turamine.
Yeah.
And she said she's been on it twice, and both times she put the weight back on.
Yeah. Because nothing changed mentally.
Nothing
like,
changed mentally.
That's the issue with fad diets is that, it's going to get you to where you want to be really quickly, but nothing changed habit-wise, routine-wise, and your mindset. You have to change your mindset. And that's just getting you to point A to point B with no education. You just fucking followed the plan and you got the results. And then what do you do?
What do you do? Yeah.
Where do you go from there?
Totally, yeah. And the other thing is, well, I think it's like, oh yeah, like I'm here now. And it's like, how do I maintain this? Like, I don't know how to maintain it. So that's why they jump from thing to thing, right? Because they're looking for the next thing that's going to help them get to where they want to be.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is when you change your mindset and your habits and your education, I always say like people are functioning here, right? Like they're functioning on average. And what people don't, like what I find with my clients is once they start like eating better and sleeping better and moving more, and when they start feeling good and you're like, oh my God, is this how good I can feel?
Oh shit.
Oh shit. Like, oh my God, is that good I feel? Then they go and have like pizza or whatever.
And they feel like shit.
This is how I felt all the time.
Yes. I get that all the time.
Yeah.
They'll be eating really good. And that happened to me too. Like when I got over the partying, drugs, whatever, to have my son and I was starting to eat healthy, I thought being tired and feeling like shit and like sick all the time was normal.
Yeah.
And I didn't know people felt like this, like how I feel now. I didn't know that was normal. And then I have clients, you know, who will make changes and then kind of fall back into old habits, which is going to happen like from time to time. And they'll be like, oh my God, I feel so bad.
Yeah.
And it's just motivation to keep going because you're like, oh, I ain't going back there.
No, it's like my croissants last weekend.
Goddamn croissants really did you over.
They really did though. Like I felt so shit. And I was like, I don't like feeling like this.
Mm.
Like, it is the biggest motivator to go, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, when you feel better, you do better, right? That ongoing effect. People think it's normal, especially as a mom. Like, oh, I'm tired. I'm a mom. Like, you see these memes all the time, right? Like, you're supposed to want to wine at 5 o'clock. It's like, nah.
Yeah, it's funny because one of my Instagram friends had a baby recently. Her page is beautiful and she just shares how beautiful being a mom is.
Yeah.
And like, I love it. It's such a positive outlook on motherhood because the more I realized, I was like, there's so much negative. Like they make it out like it's so bad.
Totally.
And I'm like, no wonder new moms are so anxious because y'all make it seem like it's the worst fucking thing ever.
But you're not taking responsibility for yourself and looking up to you. Like, I think about Hayley. Like, I literally tagged her in, like, someone. It was, like, a thing. It's, like, tag a new mom that you find inspiring. I literally tagged her because I was, like, This is the other thing. Some people would say it looks like a highlight reel. We know Hayley, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That is her.
Oh, yeah.
She absolutely is loving it. Yeah. I've had conversations with her.
Yeah.
I'm surprised people still have fucking kids, to be honest, with how negative it is out there.
I know. I'm like, dang.
God, this is going to ruffle some feathers. This is the other thing. Parents then become parents and then use iPads and shit food because they need a break because it's so hard. And it's like, you chose to be a parent.
And you can see how it kind of spirals. It's like, you don't take care of yourself. You don't move your body. You don't drink water. You don't eat good. You feel like shit.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to take care of a human.
Yeah.
And still good habits. All your shitty habits.
Yeah.
Is how they're growing up.
Totally.
You are a product of your environment.
Totally.
And like, I get it. Cause like I said, I did it.
Yeah.
Like we were couch potatoes. We ate like shit all the time. My kids were always on screens. They had bad behavior, all the things.
Yeah.
And I was like, we had to just wake up a little bit and go, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's not going
to
be good.
Totally. And I think people have it backwards. Like some people go, oh, I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to cook. I don't have time to do this. And I'm like, that's backwards.
Yeah.
That stuff needs to take priority over any of the other stuff. Because if you are not okay, how the fuck are you supposed to parent and how are they supposed to be okay? Like you said, you are the product of your environment. And like, I'm one of the busiest people I know, right? Like,
you
I have
are.
Three children. I'm pregnant. I have two businesses, a husband.
I don't know how you do it.
We have no parents here either, right?
Yeah. Like,
and I managed to do it. One of my clients was really honest with me actually today. And she was like, yeah, I'm literally on my phone for about an hour and a half a night scrolling before bed. She's been telling me she's sleeping badly, right? So I asked her outright. I was like, what do you do before bed?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, fuck. And I was like, what? She's like, I say, told me, no, have time to work out. She doesn't have time to meal prep. She's sleeping badly. And I'm like, get off the fucking phone.
Mm.
In that hour and a half, you could literally do a half-hour workout. You could prep a few meals for the day, and you could go to sleep earlier. So therefore, you could probably wake up earlier and feel better.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think people have got it backwards, you know?
And the whole, like, I don't have time to cook or I don't have time to meal prep or whatever makes no sense to me because you have to eat.
Yeah.
You have to eat.
Yes.
So what the fuck? Yeah, what are you doing?
Also, you have to eat to live.
Well, exactly. So I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm like, you have to eat anyways. So you're making some kind of meal.
Yeah.
You can make really healthy, quick meals.
Yeah.
You're just choosing not to.
Not to. And maybe, again, it's an education thing, which is why we're out there trying to help people, trying to head them over, helping people make better choices and better options. But, like, if you have time to do all this other shit, sometimes someone's got to give.
Mm.
You know, like, if you're that rushed off your feet, something has to give.
Yeah.
And this is where the other sacrificing comes in, right? Like, what is this going to look like for us? Is it mean like, okay, you don't get to watch two episodes of your show on a Friday night. You just get to watch one.
Yeah.
Sorry, but like your health takes precedent. And also it's all well and good going being like, I don't have time to cook. I'm just going to like feed my kids this or whatever and my family this because I don't have time. But like, this is the thing, you either make time for your health now or you make time for your illness later on.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, people can't see past the end of their nose. Someone's looking at the now.
Yeah. I think also a big issue is people see working out and eating healthy just to lose weight.
Yes.
So I think that's a big thing as well. They're like, well, it's not a priority or I don't care how I look or I'm happy how I look or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like there is a way bigger picture than that.
Yeah.
But also on top of that, like kids should be your number one reason why. Because how cool would it be, especially females, to grow up seeing that exercise is great for mental health. Exercise is fun.
Yeah.
We do it. We just do it.
Yeah.
Like your kids are going to grow up just knowing that's normal.
Yeah.
And that's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Because we all grew up very different.
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky. Like my parents have always been active, which is really awesome. So I like had that from a young age.
Yeah.
Food wise and alcohol wise, probably a bit different.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I'm trying, and you know what? I've said that mum's really good at like taking, she's a doctor, but she's really good at taking out things. Dad, I'm changing slowly. He takes a protein shake now.
Oh, good.
It's almost 80, so
that's so good.
Too much. But definitely, like, you know, the other day I was upstairs getting changed and Kristen getting his phone out quick enough. But I came downstairs and he's like, you won't believe what they were doing. All three of them. Harper was out there taking a workout for the twins. They had my elder bands on. Harper was actually taking the one. And I was like, that's so awesome.
Yeah, that is.
You know, and I was like, this is cool. And like they're all very active for that reason as well. But they should be your number one reason. But also, like, I just don't understand. I mean, I do understand my parents go, everything I do is for the kids. Well, if everything you did was for the kids, you would look after yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you and me both know when I'm like stressed or anxious or haven't done my workout or I haven't eaten well, I'm a shitty mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know it.
Yeah. Like taking care of yourself is literally for the kids.
Yeah, totally.
You could say it's for the kids.
Yeah,
like
totally.
I have to do something or yeah. I'm a raging bitch.
Literally.
So like,
and I will scream at you.
Yeah. Literally. So, I mean, me taking care of myself is definitely benefiting yeah. my whole environment. Yeah.
What would be your top tips for a parent or like parents, like moms and dads? I think it's just important for both if they're struggling in this area. So we're sitting here going, look after yourself. Don't like, make sure you put yourself first. And parents are sitting there listening going, yeah, fuck, okay. How? What would yeah. be your tips, like three top tips to make that happen?
Just making little changes. I think people fail a lot because they try and do it all.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm going to hit 10,000 steps. I'm going to work out 5 days a week. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to change everything in my fridge to Whole Foods. It's like that never works.
No.
So baby steps, and just know that it's going to take a lot longer than you wanted to.
Yeah.
Like I said, it took 2 years to get my son to eat like a normal human being. So it's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
But also, what is the rush? Because we're going to do this our whole lives,
yeah.
right? Clients are like, oh, it's week one and I didn't lose any weight. I'm like, what the fuck is the rush?
Yeah.
Because you still have to maintain the results.
Yeah, forever.
Forever. So, you know, these habits and these behaviors that are getting you to where you want to be, yeah, you have to continue to do them forever. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I love so much, going off a little bit, but I love so much about strength training, and I have so much respect for people who are like strong because you know you can't keep that.
Yeah.
Like if you don't maintain it, you can't keep it.
Yeah.
So I think it's just so cool to see people's dedication, because even your health, like if you don't maintain it, you don't keep it.
Totally.
So.
And, you know, like my dad was just here over the weekend. He's 78. He's turning 79 in July, so 80 next year.
Mm.
And he rows like 4 mornings a week, and he goes to the gym, lifts weights, gets on the bike. And, yeah, like he's getting older. But, you know, it's so awesome to see him. You know, he picked up the kids. He picked up Harper. He's like, oh, I don't know if I can pick her up. And he did. And, you know, like it was awesome. But a lot of like 60-year-olds can't do that, right?
Yeah.
And so I watch him, and even though he's in awesome shape, I still go, shit, right? Like we are all at some stage getting old, but it's up to us how we age.
Yeah.
But that starts now. And like you said, people don't realize like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym and work out. I'm going to paint a picture of you then when you're 65. You can't pick up your grandkids. You can't get up the stairs. You can't get up and down off your bed.
Yeah.
You have to take the lift. This is the reality of what that looks like.
Yeah. Again, that's the issue with people just hyper-focusing on, oh, we do these things to lose weight.
To lose weight, yeah.
No, guys, do it for your 70, 80-year-olds.
Totally, yeah.
Because, like, I've seen some old people in my day, and I'm like, that's what I don't want to be.
Exactly.
Like, it's scary.
Scary. It is scary. And I think that's the thing. I think someone did actually say this to me the other day. They went, Danny, something clicked with me the other day when you talk about health so much. And it's like, I've always thought about, like, exercising and food, like, a weight loss thing. And so, you know, that's the whole thing as well, like, we talked about before. Like, you order a salad or a healthy meal at a restaurant, and they're like, oh, you want a diet?
Yeah.
And it's like,
fuck, you know,
I'm just eating healthy. Like, this is just my life. I'm not even eating healthy. This is just eating.
It's so bad. Like, we're freaks nature to a lot of people. We are abnormal. People who work out, eat healthy, do all these things, walk, get sunlight, like, abnormal.
Yeah.
Like, we're so crazy, it's like we have fucking horns out of our heads or something. I'm like, it's wild.
Like, normal is not to work out. Like, even like, when I talk to people, like, oh my God, do you go to the gym? Are you like trying to lose weight? It's like, no. Like, what the fuck?
I know.
It's just, this is just how it should be. Abnormal should be not working out. Like, yeah, it is very strange.
Yeah, it was even like when I went back home, it was a while, like 5 years ago or something. But, you know, everyone was like, oh, like, I don't know what you eat. And like, they were like, it was coming from the most loving place. It was beautiful, obviously. But, it's like I was some freak nature. They're like, we don't know how to feed you. And I'm like, I'll be fine. Like, you know, just,
Like, it's funny because even when I go to my dad's house in Canberra sometimes, he's like, are you going to eat this? And sometimes I'm like, nah. Like, he's like got these, you know, beef sausages, which are full of preservatives from like Coles. And I'm like, to be honest, I prefer not to. Like, if we can go and get like a nice steak or something, like, I'll eat that.
I love steak.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not that I'm being fussy, but like, let's just focus on like real food. Like 100 years ago, that was the fucking only option.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There was no other options. Yeah. And movement, to be honest, I think, don't quote me on this, these percentages, but I think in 1970, the obesity rate or the overweight rate was like 25%. Mm. It's like 68% now.
It's so bad.
So bad.
And when, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's mean or not, but when I go on holidays and stuff, I realize like how bad it is. My environment's very healthy and yeah. I'm at the gym or yeah. I'm with my family and yeah. I don't really do much,
yeah.
to be honest. So when I do go out in the world and I'm like, we have a problem.
We have a problem. Yeah. I actually thought about this again the other day. And again, this is, people are like, hey, you're judging. It's not judging. It's just an observation.
It's an observation.
Actually, I don't know why this stuck in my head. Actually, I don't know why it stuck in my head because I had the Ed Sheeran concert last year.
Mm.
And the amount of overweight people there, I literally said to Chris, because again, we don't really do much either.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're just in your little bubble.
We're in our bubble, but also yeah. our immediate friends are also very healthy because you surround yourself with like-minded people, right?
Yeah.
And you're the average of the five people you surround yourself with. So all our friends are very healthy, whole foods, you know, it's always the same.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when we venture out as well, it's very obvious. And yeah. I remember just being like, Chris, there are so many overweight people here.
I think it was like pre-COVID. Eating healthy was actually cheap. Like it was yeah. affordable.
Yeah.
And it's still affordable. I'm not saying that. Yeah. You can still make it work. But it is getting a lot more expensive. Yeah. And I'm like,
it depends, you know. Eating healthy I still think is affordable if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if you're not, I suppose this is where if you're not too worried about where it came from.
Yeah.
You know, you can still get fruit and vegetables made from a supermarket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, is the quality gonna be as good? No, but it's better than packaged food, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a bag of Rolos, for example, you know, like a bag of Weet-Bix is like $7 or something.
Yeah.
But like a packet of Rolos is $1.50.
Yeah.
You know, and you get way more bang for your buck.
Yeah, exactly.
Nutritional wise and meal wise.
Yeah.
But yeah, once you start, you know, moving to like the butcher and yeah, it does get more expensive. But at the same time, I feel like I can make so many more things. But also I think there are so many great pages at the moment as well. And this is the other thing about education. There are so many free resources out there to help educate. Like a couple of pages I follow do 30 days of yeah. budget. It's like there are things out there you can do.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's like there's so much out there, so much free information. Like I give so much free
yeah.
stuff, so do you.
Yeah.
And it's like I feel like so many people know what to do. But why aren't you doing it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's, this is a conversation I have all the time, a protein.
Yeah.
Fucking, I can't hit my protein. I'm like,
yeah.
I've given you 5 recipe ebooks, high protein.
Yeah.
Like my page is full
yeah.
of snacks and high protein meals.
Yeah.
I can give them everything
yeah.
and they will still go,
yeah.
I can't hit my protein. You didn't try.
No,
that's why.
You didn't try. And also as well, you didn't try it for long enough, you know?
Like yeah.
You do it for a week and it's too hard. And then that's the other thing. People don't want to get past that hard. But I think that's, yeah, it's a conversation for another day. People why they're not hitting their goals. So on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, it's been lovely chatting. I feel like we could talk forever about 5 million different
things. Yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah.
Back on the couch.
Yes.
At some point.
Yeah, if I don't get cancelled.
Well, if you get me cancelled, then we'll have to chat.
Okay.
No. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If something resonated with you, click follow so you don't miss the next episode and send me a DM on Instagram @thefigure_. It means the world to me to know that you're loving these episodes. If you're wanting more accountability and tools to implement changes in your life, head to the link in the show notes and book a free call with me. And if you want to get started right now, download our free resource, 5 Simple Things That Will Change Your Life. I can't wait to be back in your life next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.